Shri Rupam Savarjatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitantam Sajivam Sanvanitam Savadutam Prajna Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shiva Sakam Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karit Sindho Dhinabandho Jagatpate Kopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshri Vrishnubhanu Sukri Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakapa Thrubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyarcha Padidanam Lavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Chaitvaita Gadadhar Shikasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
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 Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 20, Conversation Between Maitreya and Vidura, Text Number 29. Tam Kwanat Charna Tam Hojam Mada Vivala Lochanam Kanshikalapa
Vilasat Dukula
Chana
Rodhasam
Tvam Kavanat Charnam Bhujam Tam Kavanat Charnam Bhujam
Tam Kavanat Charnam Bhujam
Mara Vibhala Lochanam
Mara Vibhala Lochanam
Kanchi Kalava Vilasa
Kanchi Kalava Vilasa
Dukula Chanarodasam
Dukula Chanarodasam
Tam Kwanat Charnam Bhojam
Tam Kwanat Charnam Bhojam
Mara Vibhala Lochanam Dukula Chana Rodhasam
Dukula Chana Rodhasam
Tam Kwana Chana Bhoja
Tam Kwana Chana Bhoja
Mada Vikala Bhojana
Mada Vikala Bhojana
Kanchi Kalapa Vilasa
Kanchi Kalapa Vilasa
Thank you. The body given up by Brahma took the form of the evening twilight, when the day and night meet, a time which kindles passion. The Asuras, who are passionate by nature, dominated as they are by the element of Rajas, took it for a damsel, whose lotus feet resounded with the tingling of anklets, whose eyes were wide with intoxication, and whose hips were covered by fine cloth, over which shone a girdle. Purport. As early morning is the period of spiritual cultivation, the beginning of evening is the period of passion. Manic men are generally very fond of sex enjoyment, therefore they very much appreciate the approach of evening. The demons at the approach of the evening twilight to be a beautiful woman, and began to adore her in various ways. They imagined the twilight to be a very beautiful woman with tingling bangles on her feet, a girdle on her hips, and beautiful breasts, and for their sexual satisfaction, they imagined the appearance of this beautiful girl before them. Tvam kvalacharnam bhojam Madhavivala lochanham kanchi kalapa vilasa dukula chana rodhasam. The body given up by Brahma took the form of the evening twilight, when the day and night meet, a time which kindles passion. The Asuras, who are passionate by nature, dominated as they are by the element of Rajas, took it for a damsel. His lotus feet resounded with the tingling of anklets, whose eyes were wide with intoxication, and whose hips were covered by fine cloth, ever which shone a girdle. Namo Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Pristaya Vujale Srimate Bhakti Vidanta Swami Dhanayane Namaste Sarasati Deve Gauravani Vicharane Nirvishesha Srinivari Paskat Yade Satarane. Brahma is trying to create the universe, and in the midst of the creation there are so many different things that are going on. But one of the things that are going on is that his mind during the creation is becoming influenced by his creation, and therefore he has to constantly purify his mind by throwing off different types of mentalities. Apurimanam achala pratishtam samudram apa pravishanti adva tadva kama yam pravishanti sarve sashantim atnoti nakama kama. That a person is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires that enter like rivers into the ocean, which is ever being filled but is always still, can alone achieve peace and not the person who strives to satisfy such desires. The material world works in such a way is that, especially when we're engaged in some kind of activity, then by that activity there is a tendency for the mind to become agitated. And when the mind becomes agitated, there are so many desires that enter into the mind, and a person who's not in Krishna consciousness, they naturally become attracted or attached to certain conceptions that enter into the mind. And by becoming attached to that conception, it inspires us to do certain activities as a result. In other words, working in the material world naturally will produce certain experiences, which produce certain reactions in the form of desires, which produce more reactions, more activities, which will produce more reactions. Therefore, how is it possible to work in the material world and not be affected by the results of what we're doing? It is very difficult. Therefore, it is advised that one has to have the mind absorbed in Krishna on a different platform. In other words, if the activity is dedicated to Krishna, then the result will be is that we'll naturally think about Krishna, and if we think about Krishna, we won't become attached to the results of the work. But even in the case of Brahma, who is the most intelligent person in the universe, when he's doing a very big activity like creating a universe, then even he has to keep constantly throw off all kinds of material desires and conceptions and mentalities. So what to speak of our little selves who have not even a fraction of the intelligence of Brahma. Generally, we're not even wanting to throw off our mentality. We think our mentality is quite nice. But one has to develop spiritual vision. Just like here, the Asuras, they have a vision. It is said that a person, if he goes into the forest and he's in the mode of ignorance, everywhere he looks, he'll see a nice place to sleep. The whole forest will seem like one big comfortable bed to him. And in the mode of passion, one will think about cutting down all the trees and selling them and making a profit. And in the mode of goodness, one will listen to the birds, smell the flowers, and try to enjoy the atmosphere in the mode of goodness. How nice everything is, how harmonious things are going on. And transcendentally, one will think about how all these conditioned souls have assumed so many different forms, and they're suffering as insects and trees and birds, that I better chant Hare Krishna and try to help them. That's, according to one's mentality, there will be different reactions to the situation. That according to the modes of nature we're under, naturally we'll view things differently and will perform different activities. Satva nirupa sarvasha sharad bhavati bharata shado mao yo yo purusho yo yat sharas eva saha. That according to the modes of nature we acquire, naturally we have a certain vision of life. And according to that vision, naturally we'll act, and that will produce a different vision. Therefore, real faith, real experience is only in the mode of pure goodness when the vision, our conception of life, is not constantly changing all the time. That one has one vision called Krishna consciousness. Everyone else in the material world, under the modes of nature, their vision will constantly change. Of course, if we work in the mode of goodness, our vision will change to a superior vision, as Krishna says, sattva sanjayate jnana rajaso lova evacha pramada moha tamaso bhavato jnanam evacha. If we work in the mode of goodness, sattvam sanjayate jnanam, then we'll be attracted to knowledge. If we work in the mode of passion, we'll be attracted to greed. We'll become greedy. If we work in the mode of ignorance, then the result will be madness and foolishness and laziness. And the result of that is karmana sukritasyahu satvikam nirmalam palam rajasas tupalam dukam agyana tamasa palam. When we work with knowledge, we become purified. Karmana sukritasyahu satvikam nirmalam. Nirmalam means we become purified. That's the palam, the result. And when we work in the mode of passion, greedy, dukkham, we become unhappy. So if we're unhappy, we can trace it back to the fact that we're working in the mode of passion. Our vision is the mode of passion. We're trying to enjoy the material world, and we're getting the result, which is unhappiness. The remedy for getting out of the unhappiness is not to get more money or a better position or more comfort. The way of getting out of the unhappiness is by becoming in the mode of goodness. There's no other way of becoming free from the distress of the modes of passion, ignorance, except to come to goodness. And real happiness begins in pure goodness. But at least the relief from the distress of passion, ignorance, is, in our minds, called happiness. And bhavato jnanam evacha karma satvam sanjayate jnanam rajaso lova evacha pramado. Pramado means madness. Pramado, moha, illusion. Bhavato jnanam evacha, which covers one's real knowledge, or makes one foolish. So the result of working in madness and foolishness and illusion is that one becomes completely ajnana, loses all good intelligence. Pranashyati, or it says in the Bhagavad Gita, that moha bhavati samoha, samoha smriti vibramsat, smiti brahmsad buddhinasho buddhinashat pranashati. That one becomes completely foolish. So if we're acting foolishly, we're watching ourselves doing something completely a waste of time, that we're thinking that this is madness, then that's what it is. It's just madness. We're under the grips of the mode of ignorance. And the result of that will just be that we'll get more mad. It is not that we'll be satisfied, that the madness will go away, we'll just become more crazy. Transcendental vision, therefore, is very important to develop so that we can see how we're working. We can see what mode of nature we're working in. And if we work in goodness, then there's more of a possibility to remember that we're supposed to be working in devotional service for Krishna. Working in the modes of ignorance and passion usually produces distress and all kinds of experiences which may inspire us to remember Krishna, but ultimately, if we want to become steadily in Krishna consciousness, we have to come to the mode, work in the mode of goodness. And the main attraction for the material world, which keeps us away from the mode of goodness, is explained here as sex desire. That no one comes to the material world simply to work. No one's busily working here just because they like working. Everyone is working here because they think that by working I can get some money and then I can get all the paraphernalia that's necessary to have a nice sex life. One time Prabhupada was in, or licit or illicit, of course, licit or legal sex life, regulated sex life, should help us one day come to the platform to understand that there's a higher type of happiness. Illicit sex life means that one will keep on performing illicit sex life and think that the problem is not with sex life, it's just I haven't got the right partner yet. I don't have someone who's completely submissive and is full of all kinds of wonderful qualities and will serve me like a slave without any hesitation. I just don't have the right sex partner. So if I can find the right sex partner, then all my desires will be fulfilled and I'll be in bliss. So, since time immemorial, all the different species of life, we've been searching after our soulmate. And none of us have found it yet. And if we stay here at time immemorial from now, we still won't find the perfect soulmate. And even if we do, they're going to die, and we're going to die, and we're going to have to search time immemorial from now to find them again. So this romantic idea of current society is more or less based upon the demoniac conception that people have arisen, that there is no higher purpose than material sense gratification. They don't realize that there's another life, existence, experience beyond material existence where the real happiness, the real pleasure of loving exchanges exists. And everyone takes part in those loving exchanges. Here, this selfish desire called kripana, that I'm going to satisfy myself, because no one's really interested in satisfying anyone else. One is simply satisfying one's own senses in the belief that by satisfying my senses, then I'll become happy. So we may talk of love, we may talk of friendship, we may talk so many big words, but ultimately it comes down to just personal gratification. Even when one sacrifices one's dear life for one's country, the idea is that I'm going to live forever, people remembering my great sacrifice. I'll be glorified in the country, I'll receive so much honor, and this way my life will be sacrificed, and my false ego will be gratified. The asuras especially, they have no hesitation to indulge in sense gratification or sex life, because they believe that that's the only purpose of life. Asatyam apratishtam te jagarohara anishvaram aparashvaram sambhutyam kemanyakama haituka. They believe that this world is unreal, because if they think the world is real, then they have some responsibility. But they keep on imagining that there is no death in the world, we're going to be here forever, that there's no real karma or laws behind it. It just came about by some atmospheric chance. Asatyam, apratishtam. And there's nothing steady here. We can do whatever we want, and there won't be any systematic reaction for what we do. Sometimes you throw an apple in the air, and sometimes it lands, sometimes it floats. It's all like, there's no laws behind material nature. Jagata Horanishwaram. There's no controller. No one's watching us. No one's going to give us any results. We're free to do whatever we want. Even if there are laws, they're all impersonal and they don't have anything to do with me. There's no controller behind this world. The sun is just floating by accident. All the planets are moving their orbits by accident. Everything's just a wonderful accident. We're just amazed how wonderful the accident. We worship the accident, the primeval Lord, who doesn't have a peacock feather because he doesn't have a head. He doesn't have any blooming eyes because he has no eyes. But we worship him anyhow because he created this wonderful accident. Jagata Horanishvaram aparashvaram sambhutyam kemanyakama haitukam. The whole world is going on, is moving just out of sex desire. Somehow or another, by chance, man becomes attracted to woman, woman becomes attracted to man, and that's why anything goes on. How it came about, it's all an accident. This is their philosophy, and they believe that by increasing, making all kinds of arrangements for more sex life, then everything will become more blissful, more prosperous, more progressive. And then that's what modern society is all about. And they've created this propaganda that things are progressive. And they've defined progression in their own terms. In other words, according to the Bhagavatam, things are becoming degraded. Tatas chanudinam sat dharma satram shama daya shama. Balena Kalina Rajan Nakshatya Yor Balam Smriti. That day after day, as dharma, real religious principles are diminished, everything else becomes diminished too. Satyam, truthfulness, socham, cleanliness, dhaya, mercy, shama, tolerance, balena, bali strength, smriti, memory. Everything is diminishing day after day, and they're claiming that everything is progressive. So this is certainly only people believe it because they're misdirected. Everyone knows the quality of the food is diminishing. Now they're creating this biogenetic food, genetically altered food. So you can eat beans which are genetically created from pigs. So you're eating something, anything's possible. You may be thinking you're eating vegetarian, but you may be eating some animal. And they call that progression. And what's going to happen, they have no idea. You may get 3 heads by eating it, you may get cancer, or anything may happen. But, because it makes a profit for a few people, therefore we should respect it. Because, after all, the highest principle in life is to make money. And if someone's making money, then things are going on alright. You may be dying of some horrible disease, but you should sacrifice your life for the greater good of making money. And if you're not convinced that this is the greatest good, is that you simply are uneducated. You're backwards. You became influenced by some dangerous cult which brainwashed you, and therefore deluded you into thinking that you personally are supposed to become happy, that you're not supposed to simply be a part of the mechanism to make money for someone else. That after all, if the gross national product is increasing, then the whole world is happy. Although the gross national product includes things like people in the hospital getting surgery for cancer and for AIDS and other things, this all increases the gross national product, so therefore it's progressive. It may be a little distressful for a few people, but ultimately makes everyone happy because we're progressing. Where we're progressing towards, it doesn't really matter. Progress is what's important. And not only that, but we've derived a method by which we can get there faster, wherever we're going. And wherever it is, we'll find out quicker. And any other philosophy is just a whimsical, illusory philosophy, and they may even try to bring in a god and spoil everything. Try to say that things are not accidental, that there's actually person control, and that we have responsibility here, that this is all very dangerous, because this will discourage people from producing more for nothing. This will slow up wherever we're going to. So these philosophies are illegal, undesirable. We should protect our children from them, and we should train them up properly so they can work in harmony with everyone else. Wherever they're going, they should go there with them. Andaya tandir upigayamanas te pisha tandra urudami bhara. The blind people are being misled by the other blind leaders. And therefore the result is they all fall into a ditch. But especially in modern society, the demoniac tendency, the passion tendency, has become very prominent for a little while. Because sex life has become so much the focus of everyone's attention. I was told that one counselor in Holland, I guess in Amsterdam, he was spending his time in his office on a pornographic site. So there was some controversy. So people didn't mind that he was spending his tax payers' money on the pornographic site. They thought that was normal. But he lied about it. Therefore they became very disturbed. He lied, so he had to resign. Didn't mind what he was doing, After all, that's what everyone else is doing, so he might as well do it also. But if he lies about it, that they didn't like. So a little bit of goodness there, he shouldn't lie, but it's alright, whatever he does. So there's still some quality of human life left. For that reason, people are not going on the street and hunting each other yet. But as the mode of passion increases, as people are engaged more and more in these passion activities, the result is that ignorance will come about. After all, from the distress of passion caused by greed, then one loses one's intelligence. And one will think, one will become unhappy, distressed, and take that distress out on others. And therefore, sometimes we find that people do go hunting each other on the street. Especially in America, such a passionate place where there's so much interest in economic development, so little attention to the family, so little attention to proper relationships. And therefore, periodically we hear about someone going into a McDonald's with a shotgun and just shooting people away. And why he did it? Because he had nothing else to do. He felt a little bad and he thought, all these people are responsible for my feeling bad, I might as well do something about it. So this is certainly ignorance, and it'll simply lead to more ignorance. As these demons have the wrong conception, so therefore it's up to the devotees to develop the right conception, the right vision, so that by performing those activities in the right vision, they can get a better experience, a higher taste, so that they're not attracted to the demoniac tendency. Unfortunately, most of us, we've been trained up systematically in the demoniac mentality that sense gratification is the goal of life. If we're working, we have to get something so that we can provide a nice nest in the future. And when we have our nice little bird eggs, we can cover them over nicely, and therefore they can hatch nicely, and they can have their own little bird families, and everything can go on progressively. Everyone can fly around very happy, producing more birds and more nests and more eggs and whatever else. So this mentality is all right, but one should understand that the purpose is, while we're doing all these activities, is to come to the pure mode of goodness so that we can always think about Krishna. But if we simply think that the only purpose of life is to increase ever more our sense gratification, then there won't be any opportunity to cultivate a higher state of consciousness. And one can stay here forever simply trying to increase the illusion of material happiness. So although we've been trained up in this demoniac mentality, trying to increase our material assets and our sense enjoyment, still at the same time, we have to develop a love for Krishna by hearing about him, trying to develop, accept that conception of what we're hearing about, and then try to apply it in a practical way within our life. That may mean to chant our rounds better, may mean to do our service with more attention, with more devotion, may mean to try to improve my relationship with others, to try and change my mentality, a vision of who others are, rather than seeing them according to the modes of nature, to try to see them as spiritual souls, try to relate to them in that vision, rather than in the vision that, you know, I am so-and-so, and he or she is so-and-so, and we're supposed to compete or cooperate against others who are competing with us, but try to see everyone as spiritual beings, and to work to increase our spiritual consciousness rather than our material cooperation for sense gratification. Therefore, we can judge the progress of the Krishna consciousness movement simply in terms of how many assets we get. It has to be really judged what kind of spiritual consciousness the devotees are developing, their personal relationships, on a level of trying to compete with materialists, that we're going to have such a nice, attractive place that everyone's going to come and surrender to Krishna. No, we can't compete in terms of material attraction, because the materialists, they have their own standard of attraction. Their standard of sense of attractive, what's attractive, is not, their artwork is not exactly what we consider artwork. They'll spend millions of dollars on someone who threw some paint on a canvas and they'll think that's beautiful. And if we show them a picture of Radha and Krishna, they'll say, oh, well, when they see a boy and girl together, they think, oh, that's pretty good, but they should have thrown the paint together. It's too real. In any case, what will impress people is that one thing that the materialists can't really do is cooperate with each other for any length of time. They may cooperate temporarily if it's in their interest, but when it's not in their interest, there's no way they're going to cooperate with each other. But if the devotees have a higher interest, then in spite of any personal inconvenience, then they can cooperate for the greater good of devotional service and Krishna consciousness, and that will actually impress people, that there must be a higher platform of experience. Otherwise, why are these people sacrificing their tendency towards sense enjoyment for something which is beyond our conception? When the people used to see us on the street, smiling and happy in the midst of the rain or the snow, the cold, whatever else, and happy, when they find out that we're not engaged in illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, gambling, then their only conclusion that they could reach is either they must be doing something which is spiritual, or they must be taking some intoxication. Otherwise, how can they be so happy? Or they must be brainwashed. Otherwise, if they accept the fact that these people are experiencing something higher, a higher taste in being happy, that means that everything we're doing is a waste of time, because we're miserable, although we're following the standard formula of present society, how to become happy, working hard, getting money, enjoying your senses, going to the bar, intoxication, illicit sex, but we're miserable. And these people have no money, they're not working, they're working selflessly, and they're happy. They're not engaging in the same activities we are, so there must be some other platform of happiness then. So those who are devotees, they'll become attracted, and those who are demons, they'll become disturbed when they see the devotees. The demons, wherever they look, they see an opportunity for sense gratification or economic development. And the devotees, wherever they look, they see an opportunity to serve Krishna. So these two visions will never be the same. It is not that we're going to become so much like the karmis, the non-devotees, the demoniac people, the atheists, that they'll love us. No, they'll never love us. But if we become like them, then they won't complain that we're different. Although they'll try and destroy us anyhow, because one demon is always trying to destroy the other. Not that they ever get along, but they won't complain that we're so different. One time Prabhupada was in New York, and the reporter was a friendly reporter. He was asking Prabhupada, he said, your followers, they look so different. Why is that? So Prabhupada said, they must look different. They must, because they're spiritual. So if we're actually going to be, we have to be different. We can't be so much like others who are not following regular principles, who are not trying to develop their spiritual consciousness, that somehow or another we become acceptable by them in every respect. Not that we should. Motive goodness means, Prabhupada said, perfect gentleman, perfect lady. Those who can appreciate culture, good manners, proper behavior, they'll be attracted. Those who think that this is something distasteful and dangerous, they'll always complain. So to try to satisfy everyone is just a waste of time. Those who have a materialistic vision, they'll be always working that materialistic vision. Therefore Krishna says, Yani shasara bhutanam tasyam jagrati bhutani yasyam jagrati bhutani sani shapashutam mune. What is night for all sentient beings is the time of awakening for the self-control, and what is the time of awakening for all sentient beings is the night for the introspective sage. Therefore, what people think is progress will think is degradation. And what they think is degradation will think is progress. So So we believe progress is developing a spiritual vision. Bhukramantam sitim vapi punjana vaganan vitaha vimuranan apashanti pashanti jnana chakshushaha. That the foolish, they cannot understand how the living entity quits his body or what kind of body he enjoys under the spell of the modes of nature. But those whose eyes are trained with knowledge can see all this clearly. So our vision starts with the fact that I'm not the body. If I'm not the body, then my purpose in life is not to serve this dead body, whatever it dictates. I may have to do what's necessary in order to keep the body functioning properly. Just like one may be in a car, one has to take care of the car nicely. But one will never, who understands that I'm not the car, spend 24 hours a day taking care of the car. One will take some time off to eat oneself. It's not that all day long we're polishing the car, or putting oil in the car, or checking the car, patting the car, sing songs about our car, worshipping our car, falling down before the car. No, one who knows I'm not the car will take care of the car, what's necessary, but one will go take some nice prasadam, take a little rest themselves, hear and chant about Krishna, drive the car to the temple, etc. So it's not that we neglect the car, but we know that the goal of life is not simply to maintain the car. So certainly, knowing that we're souls, the passenger in the car, we should take care of the passenger, not only the car. The whole mistake in modern society is that a vision is that I'm only the car. And that I have nothing else to do but to maintain my car. But it's not that they maintain the car any better than anyone else, because with that vision maintaining the car, usually their car breaks down before anyone else. Because they're putting too much oil into it, they're putting too much gas, they're running it too quickly, they're not cleaning the car, except although they're spending so much time with the car, but they're spending too much time with the car. So the car is breaking down quicker. So yuktahara viharasya yukta cheta sukarmasu. Yukta svatma nivodasya yoga bhavati dukaha. Nashnatasti yogosti, na chai kantam anashnata, na chaiti svatma shilasya jagatam bhava. Charging. That a yogi doesn't eat too much or eat too little, sleep too much or sleep too little. One who is temperate in his habits of eating, sleeping, work, and recreation can mitigate all material pains by practice of the yoga system. It's a regulation of the bodily necessities, and at the same time trying to cultivate a higher sense of consciousness by chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Regularly hearing about Krishna, seeing the deities, making the atmosphere spiritual, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, serving the devotees, cooperating to spread the Sankirtan movement. So these activities will give us a higher taste, and then we'll know how much sense gratification actually the body needs. Otherwise, we will be, if we don't have that higher taste, then the only taste we'll have is serving the senses. But the senses will never be satisfied. No matter how much we try to serve them, they'll always be dissatisfied. Maybe we can dull them for some time, and then we'll become duller and duller until we turn into a tree. Maybe we'll try to do other things to serve the senses, but ultimately they'll always be agitated, and sometimes they'll be so dull that we won't have any experience. So this is not recommended. We should serve them properly in such a way that they become purified, and then we'll actually get real sense gratification, real happiness from the higher platform of devotional service and Krishna consciousness. So I'll stop here. Thank you. Any questions? Comments? Yes.
She was speaking about this demonic mentality which is promoted in this world of thinking that we are the enjoyers. How is it that even as a devotee I have a hard time sometimes to accept that there are limits? I'm still young, you know, my body hasn't given me so much feedback yet. You know, taking sugar all day long and things like that are detrimental to to my health. And
well, just don't take it one day and see what happens.
No, I don't want to.
I just try it out. If you hear, in other words, An intelligent person, they hear, and then they learn. A person who's less intelligent, they learn by experience. A person with no intelligence, they hear, they have experience, and they don't learn. So you have to get some experience. So just using your intelligence, one day, don't take any sugar, and see what you feel like. If you feel better, then you'll be reluctant. So just keep on taking sugar all the time.
So by good experience, I can also learn.
Well, ultimately, we can only learn by the good experience. The bad experience is supposed to encourage us to do what's necessary to get the good experience. But it's the higher taste by which we learn, not the lower taste. Yes? You're going to have to speak a little slower. You just. Well, that's nice. Follow the stream and bring you back to Krishna. Really? That would be nice. Is everything coming automatically?
Well, like on some initiations, it will come by time. I don't have to do any endeavor.
No endeavor whatsoever. You just have to breathe and it all comes. No responsibility. Do you believe that?
Well,
yeah, sometimes we all have that mentality, but it doesn't work. So we may have that. If we want to become Krishna conscious, though, we have to do something correct. In other words, that mentality means that we're going to do something, but it's not going to be correct. That mentality usually arises when we want to do something which is whimsical. Oh, it doesn't really matter because I'm going to get whatever I want anyhow, so I can do whatever I want. But it's not what we want, it's what the senses and mind are dictating to us. And that philosophy, because it's a philosophy, is just a product of our previous training. When we were taught to gratify our senses, that was also part of the philosophy. That everything comes about accidentally, there's no real system behind anything. I'm free to do whatever I want, the same result will come anyhow, because I'm such a nice person, surely everything nice will come to me. So we are a nice person, the soul, but we're in a material world which works according to laws. So if we follow the laws, then we'll get one result. If we don't follow the laws, we'll get another result. If we don't know what the laws are, we think, I don't know what can't hurt me. Well, that we're wrong. If we put the hand into a fire, it's going to get burnt. It doesn't really matter if I'm an innocent child and the child thinks, I don't know what the laws of nature are. I can put my hand wherever I want and therefore I'll put it into the fire. But the fire doesn't think, it's an innocent child. It doesn't know. Why should I burn it? It burns it anyhow. Probably use the example that when he was younger, there was one child who wanted to put its hand into the fan and kept on insisting. And all the parents said, no, don't do it. But it kept on insisting, I want to put my hand into the fan. You know, in India, you know, these fans that turn around. It insisted. So then the uncle said, no, that's not how you do it. You turn the fan off. And just when it's just swinging very slowly, then you say, all right, put your hand in there. So the child put the hand in, whack! Made a big noise and the child started to scream and then the parents said, no, put your hand back in there. And go, no way! Forget it. So we have this mentality, I can do whatever I want. Sometimes Krishna will allow us to do it and then the fan will hit us and hopefully we'll remember that wasn't exactly what I should have been doing. Yes.
Now, as you explained that the materialistic concepts are all changing, but you know, like in Krishna consciousness, you see that the vision of Krishna is gradually developing. But sometimes in that also we don't find stability of finding our vision and to hang on. So how do we deal with that?
Well, there's only It's not that Krishna is changing. Of course, Krishna is always becoming more wonderful. So if our vision is that Krishna is becoming more wonderful all the time, that's good. It's no problem. But as far as when we're in the mode of ignorance, we start thinking Krishna is in ignorance. When we're in the mode of passion, we start thinking Krishna is in passion. So we shouldn't put our material conceptions onto Krishna. We shouldn't project our feelings that this is how Krishna is because that's the way I'm thinking. Therefore, we have to see through jnana chakshus, or shastra chakshus, not through the modes of nature we're in. So we have to recognize what mode of nature I'm presently in. And then I have to say, well, I'm going to see Krishna. I may see Krishna that way because that's the mode of nature. I'm seeing him through. Who should think that's what Krishna has become?
And as far as throwing off this mentality as though Brahma is doing, can we do that also? Or?
With knowledge, we can. We can become aloof from it. We see the higher consciousness. We use our intelligence. Then we'll see that mentality for what it is. But one who can see things as they are, that the influence of the three modes of nature gradually ceases. If we throw off, we see that as it is, and we become proud and puffed up, I'm so intelligent, I figured everything out, I know everything, nothing can harm me, then we'll become proud, and then we'll fall down from that point of view. So we have to humbly cultivate knowledge, and then apply it properly. And always take shelter of our spiritual master in Krishna, our spiritual master in disciplic succession in Krishna, and always feel meek and humble. Always feel that we're dependent on their mercy to protect us from Maya. One time Prabhupada was in Philadelphia, it was Boston, 1969. Prabhupada was visiting the new temple they just got, and Prabhupada, there was no place for Prabhupada to stay there, so he was staying on the outside. And after Prabhupada visited the temple and then went to his apartment, his servant came back and said that Prabhupada lied down on the bed, on the edge of the bed, and then fell backwards. And then he said that every night I pray before I go to sleep, my dear Lord, please protect me from Maya. Well, we should be in that mentality also. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grantharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande Ki Jai.